Hey, my friend, I hope you're doing really well. It's about 10 minutes till 6 here in Wyoming. It's sun's rising. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day on a Tuesday, and I'm excited to be with you today. We just finished a long series of episodes featuring special guests. You know, most of my podcasts over the years have just been me with an idea to share with you. But since this COVID-19 thing is happening, I reached out to a bunch of people that I thought would be good guests on the show, and most of them are stuck at home like we all are. Everybody seemed to have time on their hands. So we've had a great series of conversations with famous people like Max Lucado and Philip Yancey and Tommy Walker and Paul Balazs and some normal people that have really fascinating stories and experts in different areas. We've had a great bunch of episodes. But today, I'm starting a series of episodes that will form the core of where we're going to go for the next few weeks. Now, we'll still mix in some interviews when they come along that are helpful, and my ongoing conversation with my friend David Martirano, the atheist who's seeking something new that he's feeling in his heart. And so keep praying for me and David as we talk. And those will come when they come. David and I, like I said, we're not scripting those. We're not planning them. Whenever he's ready to talk, I push record and we talk. But the next several weeks, we're going to outline some things that I'm writing in my new book. I'm working on a project that I'm tentatively calling Infinitely Happier, A Neurosurgeon's Thoughts on Thinking. I'm always telling you, you can't change your life until you change your mind. The whole sort of outline of this podcast is about the fact from neuroscience and the fact from faith that how we think affects how we live. And this isn't just some positive thinking podcast. It's actually the fact that you make better decisions, you form better relationships, you make better progress in your life, and you feel happier and you have a more abundant life when you think better thoughts. And so there's tools that I call self-brain surgery techniques to help you learn how to do that. And the whole deal with Infinitely Happier is that there was a book a few years ago called 10% Happier that basically the premise was if you learn how to meditate and sort of slow your thinking down and process things before you react to them, that you can be about 10% happier. That's what Dan Harris wrote. And I think if you add the underpinnings of how we're designed, which I believe is a spiritual life, if you add that in, then you don't have to settle for being 10% happier. You can be a lot happier. You might even be infinitely happier. Listen, life is not brain surgery. It's harder than brain surgery. I can actually teach you. Most people, I think, I could teach to do a lot of the things that we do in brain surgery. You can learn that by repetition, by good training, by practice. But life, you got to sort of live life to get good at it. Fortunately, though, you can get help from other people, and people, and you can learn from other people's mistakes and guidance. And we can get better at life by talking about it, studying it, and working at it. But ultimately, we just got to live it. And so I'm here to hopefully, over the next few weeks, give you some framework that we're going to build this infinitely happier idea around. Now, I would love to get some feedback from you. If you send me an email, lee@drleewarren.com, DRLEEWARREN.com, lee@drleewarren.com, and tell me, after you've listened to these episodes and start thinking about these things and implementing some of them, tell me some stories about how they're affecting you. Are they helping you? Are they not helping you? Are they useful? Are they not? Am I explaining things well? And I'll use some of those stories as case studies in the book. We'll sort of use them like we talk about in medical practice. You know, when we do a surgery, we write a paper about the outcome and the results and what we could have done differently or what works. And those are case studies that are really helpful to other doctors in learning how to take care of patients. So I think that writing some case studies into this book might actually turn out to be helpful to people to say, hey, I tried this and this is how it worked in my life. So lee@drleewarren.com, after you've heard some of these episodes and tried some of the things, send me some emails and I'll, if I get some good feedback, I'll use them in the book, and I think it'll help people. Dr. Brené Brown is a famous social worker, writer, lecturer. She's done a TED Talk that got a lot of traction, and she's written a lot of really, really good books. And Brené Brown has a series of what she calls guideposts for wholehearted living. By the way, she did a Netflix special called The Call to Courage. And if you're stuck at home and you don't have much else to do, The Call to Courage on Netflix by Brené Brown is really worth watching. It's an outstanding series, outstanding lecture that she gave, and it's very helpful. The only thing I don't like is that she uses some kind of strong language in her talk. It's really unnecessary. And some people find it offensive, and therefore they'll turn it off and not listen to what she has to say. So don't write me and say I recommended something that had bad language in it. So I'm not telling you that I approve of the language. I'm just telling you that it's there, but the show is worth watching. It's good, it's useful, and you should watch it. So go watch it. Brené Brown's Call to Courage on Netflix. And one of the things that Brené Brown writes about is something that she calls cultivating calm and stillness and letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle. Can you imagine anxiety as a lifestyle? I think right now there's probably a lot of us that are living some of that. Everybody's stuck at home. They're not sure what the future looks like. Some people have been laid off or lost their jobs or their companies have closed, and they don't know what's going to happen post COVID-19. So there's a lot of anxiety as a lifestyle happening right now, I guarantee you. Now, I read about anxiety from a mental health expert online, and he said, anxiety is not a disease. It's not an illness. It's not a biological condition you inherit or contract. It's also not a result of a chemical imbalance or a biological problem in the brain. Anxiety is a condition that we cause. Anxiety only lingers when we don't understand or know how to reverse it. Now, obviously, there are some medical disorders that cause anxiety, so I don't agree with that completely. But it is true that anxiety is something that we can often manage ourselves and sometimes take care of ourselves by changing how we think about it. So how do we approach the task of reclaiming our life from the grips of anxiety? Now, Brené Brown suggests cultivating calm and stillness. Now, I found a great article about Brené Brown's guidepost from a lady named Erica Diosa on her blog. I'll put a link to her blog in the show notes because it's a really good article about this particular guidepost from Brené Brown. And she said this: when a busy, overscheduled person hears the suggestion to be calm and find stillness, chances are they think of sitting in a room doing nothing, being absolutely bored out of their mind. And I agree with that. People think about meditation and prayer and they think, gosh, it just means you're sitting there being quiet and it's boring and all of that, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. Dr. Brown defines and helps to clarify what calm and stillness actually look like. Here's what she said. Calm is about creating perspective and mindfulness while managing emotional reactivity. It's about being able to take a step back from the situation, see all the variables, and be able to self-talk your way through every situation with realistic and grounded thinking. Stillness is not about focusing on nothingness. It's about creating a clearing. It's about opening up an emotionally chatter-free space, allowing ourselves to feel and think and dream and question. Stillness is about finding space for yourself in all the busyness. It's about carving out a peaceful space where you can reflect, engage your creativity, and process your thoughts. Awareness of self and of our thoughts can be life-changing if we can work up the courage to confront them. Now, this guidepost really ties into what I'm thinking and writing about lately, this burr under the saddle that's making me need to write this book, Infinitely Happier, because I think people really could have better lives if they changed how they think. That's why I'm always saying you can't change your life until you change your mind. In fact, in the Bible, there's a new translation recently came out called the Passion Translation, and Proverbs 17:27 says this: can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? That's how you show that you're wise. An understanding heart keeps you cool, calm, and collected no matter what you're facing. That's really what we're getting at, folks. That's really what we're getting at, my friend, is the idea that we want to be able to have a life where we can manage ourselves and find peace, find joy, find happiness, stay calm, stay collected no matter what we go through. Because life's going to bring some hard stuff. So if we want to learn how to be infinitely happier, we have to learn how to manage what we know is coming. We have to be prepared and be able to respond and not just react like wild animals when we get surprised by the hard things in life. I want you to learn how to be infinitely happier, my friend. That's my entire goal for this podcast, for my books and everything. It's for you to find your path in life. I believe there's a spiritual component to that that's going to make it all even better. And I want you to get there starting today. Hey, friends. So glad to have you listening today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I live in Wyoming in the United States of America with my incredible wife, Lisa Warren. Now, in a few weeks, we're moving to Nebraska, but we'll still be here on the podcast with you every week. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and I'm here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery to get that done. You can get the show notes and more on my website at wleewarrenmd.com, and if you like the show, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. This is the Dr. Lee Warren Podcast, where we're changing our minds so we can change our lives, and this is part one of a series of podcasts to help you become infinitely happier. So let's get after it. Hey, you remember what Dr. Brown said about stillness? Let me read it to you again. She said, stillness is not about focusing on nothingness. It's about creating a clearing. It's opening up an emotionally chatter-free space, allowing ourselves to feel and think and dream and question. Brené Brown said that. That little space is the entire goal, by the way, of Eastern meditation. And when we think about meditation, we think about some monk sitting somewhere, you know, trying to still his mind and be calm and all that sort of weird stuff that Westerners don't really understand. All they're trying to do in Eastern meditation, it's not a spiritual thing. It's a mind control thing. It's trying to learn how to put a little gap between the stimulus that life brings us, challenges, thoughts, difficulties, etc., and the response to that stimulus. Learning to pause before you react, to think before you speak, to bridle your tongue, like the proverb said, to be able to process and think through before you respond. That's what Eastern meditation is about, calming your mind and creating that space. Now, I've talked a lot about how this really, in a very real sense, is much like learning how to do surgery on your own brain, like changing the patterns, the synapses, the automatic responses that happen. You can learn to do that, and it's basically like doing surgery, doing self-brain surgery. There's something that I call the bad thought biopsy. In fact, you should go back to my episode about the thought biopsies. There's an episode called Thought Biopsies, Goalposts, and Patch Bays. And in this, I describe the technique of how to do the thought biopsy. And there's another episode, The Neuroscience of Happiness. That's episode 9. And I give you 5 different self-brain surgery techniques. All of these will be in the book, much more fleshed out. But the bad thought biopsy is what I call it, with this idea of when I look at an MRI of your brain and there's something going on there, I can't know for sure what I'm seeing just because I see a picture of it. I don't know for sure that it's a tumor and not an infection or just some scar tissue or something. I need a biopsy of it. I need to take a piece of that tissue that I'm seeing on the screen and actually get a piece of it and look at it under the microscope and identify what it actually is before I take action. Because if I see a spot on your MRI and I just take you to surgery and cut your head open and dig around in your brain, it may turn out that you didn't need that big operation. If I had just done a little biopsy first, I might have prevented you from needing something done, from having something done that you didn't need. Now, the idea is that surgeons have to have tissue to understand what the issue is. And happy people learn that they can't believe every thought that pops into their heads and react to those thoughts. Happy people learn how, as Daniel Amen says, to think about their thinking. Max Lucado says, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to think it. Neuroscience has proven that negative connections are approximately 5 times more memorable than positive ones. And this, my friend, is why you can remember the one time your mom called you an idiot instead of the 1,000 times that she said how smart you are. You can. You can still remember where you were standing when a parent or a loved one or a spouse or somebody said something negative to you. You can remember the emotion around that when you were a little kid. You can. And the reason you can is because negative experiences are hardwired much more powerfully than positive experiences are. We've talked about how that's a protective mechanism. It keeps you from touching the hot stove more than once and all of that. But so the first step and learning how to manage our minds is to recognize that not every thought we have is valid, helpful, true, or worthy of a response, even an emotional response. Not every thought that you have is actually right. Now, when your brain says, I'm a loser, for example, note that. Take a look at it. Look at it rationally and discern whether you're thinking about it from an emotional place that's colored by your big brothers or your ex-spouse's mean name-calling, or whether it's actually something real that you need to work on. Now, happy people have learned how to think about those thoughts instead of just knee-jerk reacting to them. If you work all day tomorrow on thinking about every negative thought before you react to it, then by the end of the day, you'll be much more aware of the nature and frequency of harmful thinking in your brain. Now, how often do we find ourselves far down a path of listening to worrisome thoughts without ever stopping to question if the thought itself was worthy of an emotional reaction? Think about that for a minute. Everybody has negative thoughts. They're like the ants that show up on the counter no matter how hard you try to keep things clean in your kitchen. Daniel Amen, the famous psychiatrist friend of mine, calls these automatic negative thoughts, or ants. His powerful book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, is worth reading. You should actually read it if you want to know more about how your thinking impacts your life. I can't recommend it highly enough. It should be considered a textbook if you want to change your life. But by thinking about our thinking, we'll gain more discernment about when to actually engage certain lines of thought and when to discard them altogether. Now, Guy Winch is a TED talker, a famous, pretty famous psychologist. He's been on the podcast before. He calls this idea sort of mental hygiene, like learning how to work through the things that you're thinking about and process them in a healthy way. But these automatic negative thoughts, these ants, they're tricky. They have a weight to them that make them seem accurate and real, like monsters under the bed to an 8-year-old. And those ants can be so scary that they can paralyze us. They can ruin our lives if we don't learn how to manage them. But not to worry, because the bad thought biopsy, what Brené Brown called creating that chatter-free space, that'll set you free from reacting to every ant that pops into your head. When an ant pops into your head, biopsy it. When you have that negative thought, when you have a racing thought, when you're catastrophizing, when you're worried about everything, biopsy it for a second. When your mind tells you, I'll never be able to do this, I want you to say out loud, wow, that was a really negative thought. I need to rephrase that more positively. Here's an example. You have a thought that pops into your head that says something like this: I'm never going to be able to lose this weight. Your response could be, wow, hey, that was a really negative way to look at that. The truth is, if I'm more careful about my diet today, if I choose to exercise instead of sitting on the couch, I'll actually make a little progress on my weight goal. And if I put a bunch of those days together, I'll lose some weight. You see the difference? One is neutering and one is empowering. One is harmful and one is helpful. When we learn to take that thought and spin it around and look at it objectively, two things happen. One, you start seeing possibilities where before you only saw defeat. And number two, your brain's blood flow and your chemistry actually changes in a positive way. That's true. And guess what that does? Everything you look at, everything you think about for the rest of the day will start off from a little healthier place. You're improving your baseline of how you approach things. So today, if you look for those ants, if you look for the negative thinking that pops in automatically, you'll see what a little positive spinning does to them. If you keep practicing, then soon you'll adopt this phrase: I used to be a negative person, but my brain surgeon changed my mind. That's a little inside neurosurgery joke. Look, here's the deal. The science keeps proving and pointing us toward what God's been saying all along. John 16:33, my paraphrase, says this: life is hard and you're going to have trouble, so be ready for it. We know that when things do get hard, it will produce harmful chemical changes in our brain and physical changes in our bodies. Anxiety, depression, fear, all those things hurt your physical body as well as your mental state. So it's critical to learn how to deal with the anxiety of being afraid of everything that you can't control by giving it to somebody who can control it, giving it up to God, or if you're not a spiritual person, learning another way to manage it. Now, here's a little toolkit, some verses, some scripture to preload into your brain and heart that will help you combat the automatic anxiety-producing thoughts that tough circumstances cause. Now, as a disclaimer, I'm an outspoken Christian, as you know, and I use scripture verses, Bible, to fill up my brain and my heart so I have some ammunition to shoot at these negative thoughts. Scripture's helpful to me in that regard. In fact, the Bible says it's helpful in that regard to help calm your mind and to prepare your heart for those challenges that life brings along. If you're not a spiritual person, you need to have some other type of ammunition, though, that you use to prepare for these hard things. Other writings, sacred writings, philosophy, other things that you've read, some plans in your brain. You need to have some ammunition to shoot at these negative thoughts. Now, since I'm a person who uses scripture for that, and I'm really grateful that my parents taught me that and showed me that way to arm myself with this armor of God's word. And since I use that, I'm going to give you some of the verses that I use, and hopefully you'll find them helpful. If you memorize these, if you put them in your heart, write them down, stick them in your pocket, use them when life gets hard. This is just a little toolkit that you can use to preload that calm, that space that we're looking for, that chatter-free zone that Brené Brown talked about. So here's some of the verses that I use. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." So when I'm feeling anxious, I talk to God about it. Matthew 6:25 and 27 says this, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" Now think about that one right now. We're all stuck inside this COVID-19 thing's going on. None of us can control it. We can't control what the governments do. We can't control when you get to go back to work or when life gets back to normal. So worrying about it can't fix it. And you'll let your brain get worse. You'll let your heart get worse if you sit there and focus on all that negative stuff. So you got to think about better things. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Another version says, "Every day has enough trouble of its own." Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you." Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And finally, my favorite verse about why we use scripture to help us in life, Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Now listen, again, you don't have to use scripture, but you've got to have something that you've got ready in your heart when life brings you a challenge, when those negative thoughts pop in. You've got to have something to throw back at them, and scripture works for me. By the way, this Proverbs 12:25 verse, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." That's why I'm called to write, right there. That's it. I'm here to bring you the good word, to remind you not to be anxious, to help you when it's hard. That's the whole reason I'm doing this podcast, to bring you that good word. So how do we cultivate calm? Going back to Brené Brown's idea. Again, I say, do what the Bible says. Preload your thinking with the right answers to whatever's going to pop up. It's like studying for a test. We arm our brains to be ready for whatever comes along so that we're ready with the right thoughts and the answers to pre-protect our neurochemistry. So if you know that hard things are going to happen, you prepare. You get ready. There's a book called Never Split the Difference by an FBI hostage negotiator named Chris Voss. I've talked about him before on the podcast. That'd be a good interview too, wouldn't it, by the way? But this book, Chris Voss says a line that's become kind of a mantra for me. He says, when the pressure's on, you don't rise to the occasion. You fall to your highest level of preparation. So that's what I'm getting at. We're preparing. We're preparing for the hard stuff, for when the pressure's on. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Notice this. David, the guy who wrote that, he wrote it before he was in the valley of the shadow of death. He was preparing his heart for what happens. So when he says to himself, okay, even if I end up walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. He's preloading his heart to keep his faith up when the hard times come, because he knows he's going to get there eventually, right? Hebrews 13:6 says, "We can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" A couple more. Isaiah 43:1-3, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. And the flame will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God." And Luke 21:14-15 and 18-19, "But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." Listen, friend, again, this isn't a sermon. I'm giving you some scripture that you can use, but you could also use some other things. I think scripture's better. But the point is, you've got to be prepared. You've got to make up your mind beforehand that you're not going to give in to anxiety, fear, worry, negative thinking, all of that, because life is going to bring you challenges. So if you want to succeed, if you want to win life, you got to stand firm. And the secret to that is preloading, to be prepared, to create that chatter-free space. I think the biggest distinction between the pure meditators who are trying to tune out the world's noise and find calm and stillness and silence, and between those and Christians who want something bigger and better to find in the silence, is this. Spiritual meditation isn't about trying to hear nothing. Eastern meditation is. It's about trying to hear nothing so you can control what you think about. Spiritual meditation is about trying to hear the only thing that can really help. And stillness isn't about trying to calm ourselves down. It's about slowing down enough to know that we're safe in God's care and that we can rest there. Anxiety isn't a real thing. It's not a disease. It's a physiological response to what we're thinking about and how we allow ourselves to respond. It's not a disease in and of itself. Now, again, as a medical disclaimer, as a physician, there are some people who have anxiety disorders that are so out of hand that they need medical help. And if you're having a hard time with anxiety and you can't get it under control, don't self-medicate, don't use alcohol, don't, you know, take bad behaviors to try to calm your anxiety. Go see your doctor. They really can help. So don't hear me saying that. Go see your doctor if you're struggling with anxiety and if you can't get it under control. But I want you to remember that many times we can get it under control. And since we know that we can control our physiology by changing our thought patterns, we need to bathe ourselves in words that will help and have them ready as ammunition to shoot at these problems when they inevitably arise. And I believe scripture helps with that more than anything else in my experience. So cultivate calm. Reject the lifestyle of anxiety. Preload your thinking and you'll offload your anxiety. This is self-brain surgery. This is how we get to the place where we can become infinitely happier. We're going to talk a lot more about this in coming episodes. It's biblical. It's consistent with neuroscience. It's good self-care. It's self-brain surgery, and it will help you. But if you want it to help you, you have to start today. Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren podcast is brought to you by I've Seen the End of You, a neurosurgeon's look at faith, doubt, and the things we think we know, available everywhere books are sold, from Waterbrook, Penguin, Random House. Hey, please don't forget to support your local booksellers. I want to send a shout out to two wonderful local bookstores here in Casper. Blessed Are They Books and Gifts. Sarah and Jerise and the colleagues there are doing a great job of delivering books and gifts to people here in Casper. They've done a wonderful job. And also, Wind City Books, our friend Vicki Berger, has kept her shop open. She's serving readers, and they've done just a lovely job of helping us all get through this time by keeping us stocked with things to read. Please, wherever you live, find your local bookseller and support them. And you can subscribe to this show and support me so you automatically get every episode. Let's connect on social media. I'm at Dr. Lee Warren, at DrLeeWarren on Instagram and Twitter, and Lisa is at Lisa D. Warren on Instagram and Twitter. We love to connect with folks all over the world, and we will reply back to you if you contact us. And email lee@drleewarren.com if you have any thoughts on how these ideas have been helpful to you. Go to my website, wleewarrenmd.com, for more information about my letter, this show, my books, and more. And the theme music for the show is Blue Highway by Poddington Bear, available free at freemusicarchive.org. That's freemusicarchive.org. Remember, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and you have to start today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. God bless you. Have a great day.